hard to know, Miles, because, you know, that game for them really was of very little significance. It was a lot, meant a lot for Ballinhinch because that gave them 5 wins out of five, and they would have been looking to score as many points as they could because Armagh are 11 points with them, and the points differential at the end of the day would have counted. But the Armagh game was called off, so apparently it's not going to be played now to April, so Hinch are going to have to wait for a long time for that one. Derry scored 3 converted tries, but of course next week they play Barnhall at Judges Road, and that's really the bread and butter of this All-Ireland League, because they got a result against Dungannon and they'll be looking to build against next week again. I'm not actually sure what sort of side they had out yesterday. All I do know that very disappointing from the club's point of view is that the second 15 couldn't field the side against Coleraine. I was down at Lima Valley Coleraine game at the Roe Valley, and the Coleraine boys were wondering how come Derry couldn't put out a second 15. And, you know, that's a very, very worrying aspect for a senior club, and that's something I've said before has to be addressed, and addressed very, very quickly, because if you don't have the strength and depth and you get a few more injuries in this All-Ireland League, well, then it's going to become even worse.
Fairly serious, all right. Okay, you watched that match between Lima Valley and Coleraine. The final score was Lima Valley 10, Coleraine 31. On paper, a clear victory for Coleraine.
Yeah, Lima Valley 12. But, I mean, the thing was that now sees Coleraine top of that section. Lima Valley still lying third. I would say this, the scoreline was a bit flattering, to be honest, Miles. 17-10 would possibly have been a decent result. I mean, the referee awarded a penalty try at one stage. Coleraine were driving forward in the scrum about 8 metres out, and then the number 8 lost complete control of the ball. It shot away out to the corner, but he penalised Lima Valley wing forward for breaking off. And when they're under the post, there was absolutely no way Lima Valley would have scored that try. That was 7 points. And then just at the very end of the game, Lima Valley opened up just outside their 22. Throughout half through a long pass, Coleraine centre intercepted and under the post. That was 14 points in a sense, and just took the game away from them. So if you forget those two things, it was a pretty hard game. Lima Valley had probably the better of the first half, but Coleraine came back strong in the second half. But it was, from Lima Valley's point of view, they'll be delighted with that result. I mean, Coleraine have spent a lot of money getting players into the club, and certainly, you know, they have sort of thrown all their eggs in one basket, and they really are looking to try and get back up to the top division in that league. And you know, they're lying first at the moment. They play CI next week, and if they win that, that puts them in a reasonable position. But Lima Valley will be very happy to maintain their third position. And big crowd yesterday from both Coleraine and Lima Valley. Coleraine had a couple of buses over, and good to see junior rugby getting so many people out. A very cold day, but as I say, a lot of good rugby to warm us up.
Mm-hmm. Any other scores in Ulster?
Yeah, the other ones was in the Rugby Championship 3. Strabane travelled up to Belfast High School. I would have expected Strabane to come away with something from that, but unfortunately they lost out by 14 points to 12. The Letterkenny game, it was called off, possibly because of ground conditions. And then in the sort of a minor west, I noticed that Derry Thirds beat Finn Valley 22-19. Can't understand how Derry Thirds played that game, because you're supposed to cancel from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. Unless both teams agreed and were happy enough with it. But, you know, not to be able to put out a second and then have a third playing seemed a bit strange. But Finn Valley would be delighted with that result, you know, to run them so close, 22-19.
Yeah, and any other? Were Omagh playing Dromore in Championship 1?
That game, Miles, was called off apparently at the pitch at Omagh was. I noticed it said cancelled due to frost and snow. So obviously they had pretty severe conditions up there, as they normally have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's turn our attention to the European Rugby Champions Cup. We'll go back to Friday's action: Leinster against Montpellier, and Leinster 57, Montpellier 3. Well, the first team to qualify for the last 8 of the Champions Cup, Leinster, they really did put on a good show.
Oh, magnificent, Miles. Magnificent. Anybody who saw that game, I'm sure, even people who wouldn't be complete rugby followers would have had great delight watching that game. 8 tries, but you know, it was just the way that Leinster played the game. And the thing is that it's the young guys are coming to the fore, the two wings, you know, mm-hmm. young Byrne and O'Loughlin looking stars, and Teddy Zabo and Trumbull, all these boys will be looking over their shoulder whenever Joe Smith picks his Six Nations squad. Jack Conan, he's not good enough to play normally, he comes on, gets man of the match and scores 3 tries and absolutely brilliant. But next week probably Sean O'Brien will take his place, and it just shows you the competition for places that Leinster have. And you know, I figure as it looks like now that they finish top and they get a home draw, whoever finishes 8th will not be looking forward to going down to RDS or to the Aviva.
They certainly will not, because they're really dead put on. You know, I suppose Montpellier, a big pack, although they were given statistics there that suggested that Leinster were heavier, but not as mobile for sure. And it was, I think the tactic was move them around the pitch, and that's what they certainly did.
Well, when you look at these young guns coming through, like Tadhg Furlong just gets better and better. I mean, every time you listen to a rugby programme, they talk about the Lions. I mean, I would imagine, barring injury, that he's penciled in already. Of course, he has to perform in the Six Nations, but after his performances against New Zealand, I don't think he needs much motivation. Jack McGrath, again, keeping off Cian Healy, you know. I mean, it's absolutely superb, the number of young players that they have. And as I said, the back row, especially with Conan. But the other guy, Miles, who's just getting better and better. I mean, Robbie Henshaw, yes, had a tremendous international against the All Blacks, and he, of course, was the guy that sort of everybody talks about being, you know, taken over from Brian O'Driscoll. But this boy, Gary Ringrose, he was talked about at the start of the season, and he's just getting better and better. And I think there was a compliment paid to him at the try scored in under the post. Looked like a young Brian O'Driscoll, and actually when you watch the feet movements, it just does remind you of the try scored against France. So Ringrose and Henshaw, I mean, that'll be some combination in the Six Nations, because Jared Payne, I doubt, will play any more this season, because apparently his kidney injury is quite serious, and I'm sure he'll not be anywhere near fit. So, you know, as one person drops out, it just seems to be the conveyor belt to bring them in, and that's a very exciting centre combination.
Sure is. Liverpool won up against United, Milner penalty spot, but we'll continue with rugby. And we'll move on to the action then on Saturday, earlier in the day. Connacht played very well, defeating Zebre by 66 points to 21, something similar to what Leinster defeated Zebre by. Zebre poor, but Connacht very clinical.
Yeah, at one stage I was down at Limavady, and it was on the TV, and somebody had said, by the way, Zebre's leading Connacht by 14 points to 7. I think this was after about 15 minutes.
And, that's correct, yep.
Certainly there was a big turnaround. I mean, at half-time, I just noting here that Connacht actually were leading by 40 points to 14. Mm-hmm. So they certainly, 33 points are stuck in that second quarter of the game, and then added another 26 points in the second half, scoring 10 tries. And that really gives them a fantastic chance to get into the last 8. They'll obviously not get into the top 4, but nevertheless, even to get into the quarterfinals and an away match, with the injuries they've had, and on top of what, you know, winning the Pro 12 last year, I mean, what a performance by the boys from Galway, and certainly it's been a magnificent 3 or 4 years. And certainly to get into the last 8 would be icing on the cape for Pat Lamb, because he's done so much. The Pro 12 probably at the moment is a way out of their reach, but if they can get into the last 8 of the Champions Cup, no matter what sort of side they put out, we know that they have the fighting qualities, and nobody will want to play them.
No, and that's them playing with a scrum half at out half, their fourth choice, John Cooney. So it's amazing what they're doing down there in Galway.
Well, this is it. Of course, Miles, maybe it lets us see that, you know, maybe for too long we have thought about, you know, there's only so many players that are capable of playing, well, not inter-provincial rugby, but Pro 12 rugby and international rugby. But in the last 2 or 3 years, the amount of young players coming through from all the provinces is absolutely amazing. And, I mean, the academies in all the provinces, you know, have to be congratulated. You know, being able to earmark these young guys when they're 17 or 18 and taking them on, because it is absolutely amazing. It's just the conveyor belt at the moment has... Nobody would have ever thought 5 years ago this would have been the case.
No. And if we move on to Munster, it went to Glasgow, Scotstoun, taking on Glasgow. They were well hammered at Thomond Park, as you remember, in the first game after the death of Anthony Foley. Glasgow put it up to Munster last night, but Munster came out in top 14-12.
Fabulous match. probably the best game there's been for a while, although the Scarlets game today against Saracens will take some beating miles if you get a chance to see any of the highlights from that one. Saracens were 22-15 down. There was 82 minutes gone. They got a penalty. They couldn't kick the touch. They tapped the penalty. They kept going. And Ashton managed to get into the post 22 off. So, you know, the fighting qualities of Saracen were there for all to see. But the Scarlets, a tremendous game of rugby. But last night, that one at Scotstoun, as you said, between Glasgow and Munster. Glasgow will probably feel a bit disappointed. I mean, neither side really deserved to win. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. Had it been a draw, I don't think anybody would have objected. But once again, I just showed you Munster. Points down, they have visibility miles to score when it matters, and that's the difference between them and a lot of the other teams. They haven't got it for about 2 or 3 years. You know, this was the way they did whenever they were ruling about when they won the two Heineken Cups. But they come back, and the substitute Sahili, he got over in the corner. But a great, great game of rugby, and Glasgow played some superb rugby as well, and a credit to both the coaches, and certainly as a spectacle and as a game, it was a great game of rugby. But from Munster's point of view, they get the 4 points, and that was what mattered.
That's what mattered, is right. I see there's a bit of an inquiry into that head injury that scrum half received, and he'll have to debate, will question as to what exactly happened.
Which one's that, Miles?
The Munster scrum half.
Conor Murray?
Yeah.
He
came back on again.
Yeah, he came back on very quickly. He seemed to take a big bang, but he's one of those guys, I suppose, that he doesn't feel too much pain the way he puts himself around, because I'm sure a lot of old scrum halves who played 30 years ago, Miles, must be saying to himself, is that fellow's head in the right direction, putting on tackles like that, you know, because he's like a ninth forward.
Oh, yes.
It reminds you very much of, if you remember, the famous Sid Going that played for the All Blacks.
Indeed, yeah, small guy.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that, you know, he's into everything. But let's hope everything's okay then at that. But I suppose maybe they felt that he came back onto the pitch, maybe a wee bit too quickly.
I think that's maybe what they're questioning all right at this
stage. Well, they really are at this moment in time. They seem to be checking up all of this, because it's become, I think, a source of concern. Because mainly, I think, Miles, because a lot of young people, you know, young people watching the game and parents watching the game, you know, could be very wary of letting their child play a game where there's a chance maybe of a head injury. Whenever I was playing them over the last 40, 50 years, you know, you never even thought about a head injury. But of course, nowadays we realise that even, you know, heading a football years ago can have serious causes in later life.
That's right. Okay, well, the last province is Ulster, taking on Exeter. They're on 9 points, two games left. They really have to get bonus points in both situations to get them to 19 to have a chance of being one of the three best runners-up.
Yeah, half 5 miles at Sandy Park. I mean, that's going to be very, very interesting. Claremont of Erin, I watched between that and the Scarlets, but Claremont of Erin and Bordeaux Begley, and I tell you, as a rugby spectacle, it was horrific. I mean, it was a typical top 14 French match. I mean, just big forwards. There was very little to see that Claremont of Erin are a team that's going to cause too much trouble. Now, they are one of the favourites and all the rest of it, but Ulster showed at Ravenhill that if you run them about. But Bordeaux kept at the game, and at 9-6, of course, it means now that Bordeaux are out of this competition. So from Ulster's point of view, these guys are now warming up, realising if we even get 4 points, even beat Exeter at Sandy Park, Bordeaux, I don't think, Miles, are going to bring their full strength team next Saturday, because it's a no game for them. So Ulster really have an opportunity if they can beat Exeter and then get them there this year. I still think 18 points could still get them in, the way some of the games are going at the moment. But who knows? But I saw Paul Marshall apologising once again for that stupid thing he did in that game against Bordeaux, when Ulster could have come away with a losing bonus point and he decided to run the ball. I just hope that doesn't come back to haunt them, because as we all know, in the final analysis, 1 point makes a big, big difference. But to be honest, I think Ulster are going to have to play out of their skin today to beat Exeter. Exeter are on a roll. They have won 6 of their last games. they're more or less at full strength. Ulster, as we know, are missing quite a few players. But nevertheless, when the chips are down and there's, you know, they're going there. Les Kiss, of course, you may have seen, thankfully, from all Ulster followers' point of view, has decided that the backroom staff has to be rejigged. And I think sooner rather than later, maybe a season too late, and that one. So the players now will realise that, you know, new boys will be coming in at the end of the season and contracts are there to be signed. So a good performance today could mean that you're putting your name on a bit of paper.